I want you, let's look at the book of 1 Timothy tonight. Let's look at the book of 1 Timothy. I want us to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 as we start off this lesson. And we're going to call this lesson Spiritual Safety First. Paul was talking to a young man. He was a preacher. His name was Timothy. And in chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul tells us, writes to this young man, says, "Take heed unto thyself and to all unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee." God, we recognize in this chapter, and Paul told Timothy, he said, "Now I want you to take heed to yourself. Now I want you to save yourself first, Timothy. Then you can be equipped to help other people to be saved." In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, we recognize that God is the Savior of all. And because Christ came to the earth to save us from sin. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, at the outset of the book, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." But, however, at the outset of our lesson in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul urged Timothy first, as we said, to save himself. But you know, there's no contradiction in these two ideas, because God provides us with our salvation. And as Christians, He tells us how to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Seeking to know our spiritual safety first, let's look at the first point, the importance of taking heed. We must take heed to our spiritual safety, because these matters are very important to each of us as individuals. In matters pertaining to physical life, there's a lot of attention given to safety first. On machinery, we see what? We see safety first signs, don't we? When you're driving on the road, people encouraged to drive defensively, because you never know what that person in front of you, in the back of you, is going to do. But you know, we have to take heed to our spiritual health. Our spiritual health is more vitally important than machinery or cars or anything we got in life. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, we're told that our faith can be shipwrecked. We can leave God. This is a slow process. But in 1 Timothy 1, 19, Paul says, holding faith. We've got to hold this faith which we have. And have a good conscience, he said. You're not only the faith, but you have this good conscience. He said, in his day, which had some having put away concerning faith, had made shipwrecked. And you know, when you know, the people that would come and tell us, Jim said, you know, once you're saved, always saved. This is an erroneous doctrine, because Paul right here says that we can lose our faith. We can make shipwreck of our faith. Now, people can depart from the faith totally. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now we see what Timothy is now being told. Paul is being advised by Paul. He said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." How are you going to depart from the faith? giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're not letting safety become a priority in their life. So we can see that some can depart from the faith. Others can, their faith can be overthrown. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 16 through 19. Let's look at that passage. Paul writes, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And the word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection of the dead, that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundations of God stand sure, having the seal, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that he is, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Now Paul said you should put away profane and vain babblings, and they produce ungodliness. And he says he named two people that had done this. He says if you concern the truth, you erred. And he said even those in his day said even the resurrection is already passed. He said nevertheless, he said God, the foundation of the truth of God still stands sure. And he said, the Lord knoweth those that are his, those Christians that are his, those true Christians who put their spiritual safety first. And then he says, let every one of that nameth the name of Christ depart, or don't make sin a practice in his or her life. Now, that's an importance of taking heed. Taking heed to spiritual safety first. Secondly, let's take heed to ourselves. We'll go back to our text. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. It said, holding faith and a good conscience with some, take heed unto thyself unto the doctrine. He said, take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine of the teaching. Therefore, he said, if you do this, then you will hold on to the faith. You will be hold on to your faith and a good conscience. And he said, then you will properly feed your faith. According to Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we understand how you feed your faith. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith just doesn't come just by some miraculous means. He says you produce faith by hearing the word of God, and in hearing the word of God, you hear the word of God and be obedient to the word of God. Now let's look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. The book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Now, in verses 12 and 13, the writer would say, take heed, or pay attention, brethren. He's talking to Christians. He said, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So we see it's possible to depart from God because we're here tonight, we may not be here maybe a year from now. We may depart from God. There's always that danger. But don't lose your faith. Don't lose your commitment to God. He says, but exhort one another daily. This is how you keep from departing from God. This is how you keep from having an evil heart of unbelief, is exhort one another daily, while it's called today, while the present's here. That's what he's talking about. The present, while it's the present, lest there any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. The devil is deceitful. The devil paints a good picture. So, this is all right for you to do. You do it one time, that'd be all right. You can just satisfy your craving. And then And then it becomes a habit, whatever the activity is. But you know, three times in this book of in the book of Hebrews, we're exhorted to listen to the Word of God. Now, let's look at chapter 3, verse 7. There's three times here. Chapter 3, verse 7. We'll just look at them. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear His voice. Now, I'll drop down to verse 15 of that chapter. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Now let's look down chapter 4, verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. In all three of those passages of Scripture, we see the word, hear His voice. Hear His voice. Hear the voice of God through Scripture. The devil likes us to doubt. He likes us to doubt ourselves. He likes us to doubt what we do. He likes us to doubt our thinking. But we can't afford to doubt our spiritual safety first. We have to have our spiritual safety first and know that we have our faith in God. And we do this by examining ourselves. We can see others around us who produce fruits of unbelief against God. But the Scripture condemns unbelief. And we have to be careful that we don't have fruits of unbelief in our lives. But therefore, we have to hold a good conscience. We have to be careful we don't make shipwreck of our faith. Christianity is designed to give us a good conscience. A good conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 said, now the end of the commandment is charity or love. He says, this is what motivates this. Out of a pure heart. You're motivated by love out of a pure heart. And of a good conscience. That goes with it. And of faith unfeigned or genuine. So what's the end of the commandment? Love out of a pure heart. Have a good conscience. And faith that is genuine. That is real. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22, the writer would say, our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now, when we baptized, we had our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We had sin in our lives then. Sin can separate us from God. So if sin separates us from God, we took the necessary action to be baptized for the remission of sins. And then each one of us in this assembly was added to the church that Christ purchased with His own blood. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, we see another area. We're to behave as a member of the family of God. Paul told Timothy, Timothy, I may not be there for quite a while, but I want to let you know something. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul would write unto the young man, he said, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave in thyself in the house of God, which is a church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Paul said, just because I'm not there, Timothy, don't think that you can behave otherwise than you should behave in the house of God. He said, this house of God is the church of the living God. It's also the pillar and the ground of the truth, which Timothy would build his spiritual safety on. So therefore, we have to behave ourselves right in the church as a member of God's family. We're to exercise ourselves. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul admonished the young man to exercise thyself rather unto godliness. He said, if you go exercise, physical exercise is good. Helps the body to stay healthy. But he says spiritual exercise produces godliness. And then Paul advised Timothy, we need to flee materialism. Materialism is all around us in our day. Every kind of thing which we can imagine is being thrown at us every day of the week. Ads, newspaper, radio, TV, everything. But we have to flee materialism. Look at what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. He said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. See what Paul's doing? He said, first of all, godliness with contentment is great gain. Because we were born in this world, and when we die, we'll carry nothing out. He says, therefore, the rich have many problems. The rich have many problems. And he said, not money is not the root of all evil. He says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And he said, if you flee all these things, you can replace all these things with righteousness, goodness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. You can have the better things of life. Remember, Jesus at the house of Martha and Mary, and Mary's trying to get the meal ready, and Martha's listening to him. And she told Jesus, said, well, now Lord, you ought to get my sister. Tell my sister I need her help. No, wait a minute. And what did Jesus say? He said, she had received the better part. His teaching. His teaching, because he wasn't going to be there all the time. And so that's the way we do. We need to replace these things with these characteristics. Now, we're also to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. And in that, he says, we fight. We're in a fight for people. We're in a fight. We're in a spiritual warfare. And we're going to win at the end of time. The faithful people will win at the end of time. The ones that think they're winning now will not win at the end of time. But we've got to fight the good fight of faith. And in the next phrase in 1 Timothy 6 and 12, he says, after you fight the fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. That means grab hold of it. And know where your destiny is going to be. Know that your spiritual safety is first in this life, and ultimately at the end of time, your spiritual destiny will be heaven. And in the third place, our spiritual safety first must depend on us taking heed to the doctrine or teaching of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy, much emphasis is given to doctrine or teaching. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Said, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Continue on in the book, chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. Chapter 6, verse 3. And to the doctrine which accorded to godliness. So, what's this tell us? 1 Timothy talks much about doctrine. One cannot believe error and do right and be consistent before God. Relationship to doctrine of Christ determines our discipleship before Jesus. John the 8th chapter and the 31st verse. Remember what Jesus said to those Jews? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if, conditional word if, you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You have to continue in the word of Jesus. And then, failure to abide in the word of Christ is a failure to abide in him. In John chapter 15 and verse 7, Jesus said, if, another conditional word, ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. And if an individual fails or refuses to abide in the doctrine of Christ, that means that that person is no longer in God. Look at 2 John verse 9. 2 John verse 9. John would write, whosoever, he said that could be anybody, transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine or teaching of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So if you transgress, or you step across God's fixed boundary of law, and you abide not in the teaching of Christ, then you don't have God. He said otherwise, he said if you abide in the teaching or the doctrine of Christ, you have both the Father and the Son. Remember Jesus told the Jews, he said if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you believe me, then you'll believe the Father. And then we say false doctrine produces apostasy. False doctrine will produce people to leave the truth, as we've seen in our brotherhood over the years. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul writes, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Paul said these people have a chance. They have a chance to become righteous before God, but they let the devil deceive them into believing unrighteousness, and they perish. He said, you'll perish if you die in that state, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So there must be a balance of taking heed to ourselves and to the doctrine or teaching of the Bible. We must examine ourselves every day to see where we're in the faith. We must keep this faith, and we must have good conscience toward God. And that produces stability in our lives. That produces safety first in our lives. But we have to also maintain our faith and maintain our commitment to Christ for the rest of our lives. Because there is salvation for those who practice spiritual safety first. There is salvation. Paul urged Timothy first to what? To save himself. And then he could save others. Paul knew Timothy was worth saving. When Paul urged Timothy to practice spiritual safety, Paul said Timothy could then be equipped to save others. They too were worth saving. How's your spiritual safety tonight? Is it first in your life? Or do you have problems? Do you have you let sin, deceivableness of sin, enter your life? And you know, do you need to get rid of these sins tonight? Not obey the gospel, we encourage you to do that tonight, that you will be to come and acknowledge Jesus before this assembly. and repent of sins in your life and be baptized for remission of sins, that you could become a new creature in Christ, or if, as a child of God, you have a need and you know that you need to come and repent of your sins and get your life right before God. If you have a need to respond, we encourage you to come now as together we stand and sing.